You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org. You're listening to...
Well, good morning. Lloyd's not here today. He's in Ecuador along with the team. Things are going great. They had an incredible ending to the marriage seminar yesterday, and the youth doing their kids program, family program. Just a great day tomorrow. So just continue, or yesterday. It's going to be a great day tomorrow too. Keep praying for them. Keep lifting them up. Believing for just awesome things to happen. But when Lloyd was here on stage last week, if you were here, he told you that next week we were going to be reading mattress labels and cereal boxes. And since I'm a good executive pastor, I listen to what my pastor says. And here's the thing. I was, if you've ever read a mattress label, I wasn't exactly sure if I actually brought a mattress label with me this morning, if you guys would think I'm really the consumer of that mattress or not. And so I didn't want to get in trouble with the law, so I took a picture of one. Because it says, under penalty of law, this tag not to be removed except by the consumer. So how would I prove that? Because you wouldn't know. But this one was interesting. All new material consisting of textile fibers of unknown kind, 100%. So in other words, they have no idea what's in your mattress, and neither do you, even after reading the label. Honey Nut Cheerios. Any Honey Nut Cheerio fans in here? Well, let me tell you what you're really eating. Whole grain oats, that's good. Sugar. Oat bran. Cornstarch, honey, brown sugar syrup, salt. We're doing pretty good so far. Try potassium phosphate. Exactly. Canola oil, natural almond flavor, vitamin E was added to preserve freshness. I don't know why. Anyway. So there you go. I'm done. I just wanted to make sure that when Lloyd comes back here in a couple weeks that you guys can tell him, hey, Alan did exactly what you said we were going to do. He didn't deviate from the plan at all. Everything went as you wanted. So you guys just be sure to tell him that, and we'll be good. So we've been in the middle. A few weeks ago, we started this Nehemiah series, and we're kind of in the middle of it. We've been working through it. And for the 2 weeks of the Ecuador trip, we planned we wanted to take a little break. We wanted to put a pause on the Nehemiah series and just have a couple weeks or went a little different direction. And so I got the privilege of speaking this morning. And, you know, last week, inspiring message of what it looks like to be on a team, to do your job, to do your part of being on that team, building the wall, going forward. And so as I was thinking about what does it look like to take a break, Will I just do some random message or what? And I just couldn't do that because here's what I did this week. I started reading Old Testament. Like, started back in Daniel. And I didn't read everything because that would have taken forever. But kind of Daniel through Nehemiah and then on to Malachi. So kind of this whole big picture of Old Testament. And it became very intriguing to me. And I got lost in it. And I was looking stuff up. I was cross-referencing. I was pulling out timelines because, yes, I'm that geeky guy that loves timelines. And it just was mind-boggling. And I just became enamored by this whole thing and this whole story that it's so easy to kind of look at the book of Nehemiah. And this is what sometimes I do and I think we do with the Old Testament. We take a story or we take a book like Nehemiah and we kind of set it on its own. And we study through it, and it's got all these amazing principles and all these incredible stories and things in it. We go, wow, that was amazing. And books like Nehemiah can stand on their own, but when you put them in the context of the story and the journey that is being woven throughout the Old Testament, wow. It just becomes even more incredible when you begin to see what God is doing and the story he's weaving and the things and the lives that he is changing. So I just became so fixated and so enamored by the prophets, by the books of in between and seeing what happened before and what was prophesied and the prophecies that came true and the prophecies that still hadn't come true, but that people were relying on and all of these things. And so I saw this puzzle. And I saw this puzzle coming together, leading up to where we are in Nehemiah. And I saw these pieces of the puzzle being put together, these prophecies, these different things being done. And I begin to see what God was doing. And begin to see that it's easy for us to kind of lock into one moment. It's easy to lock into last week where the team is building the wall and go, wow, that's something to celebrate. People are coming together. Things are happening. This is awesome. And it's really easy to get lost in that moment and to kind of see what's happening there and miss the bigger picture of what comes after and what comes before. And really in life, it's easy for us to get lost in a moment. We get in a moment where things are going great and God is doing incredible stuff and we're just celebrating. We're like, man, this is so awesome. And it's easy to get lost in that moment and forget that God is doing this stuff because at one time he promised he would. And then we get lost in the moment. We forget that there's still more. Like, this isn't the end. Like, building the wall in Nehemiah is not the end. There's still more to come. And so it's easy to get lost in that moment. On the flip side, it's also very easy to get lost in moments of frustration, where you feel like everything's in ruins around me. Everything is hopeless. It's impossible. And you're lamenting and you're sorrow and you see situations and you get lost in that moment. And you go, you don't see any way out of it. And you're not even sure how you got there. And you get stuck. And so it's very easy at both ends of the spectrum and anywhere in between to get stuck in the moment and miss out on the big picture. Because you see, there's good moments. There's good moments when the wall is being built and everybody's coming together and the team's working and things are happening. But then there are also bad moments when the city is laying in ruins, when the temple has been destroyed, when things around us are not going well, when we feel like we're all alone. And those are the bad moments. And it's easy to get stuck. And so as we journey through this morning, there's some questions that I want you to be kind of going over in your mind. There's some questions that I want you to be thinking about and asking yourself as we go through this. So here's the questions. Number one, what are you building? Currently, right now in your life, think about Nehemiah. What are you building? What's the story? What's the legacy that you're building? What is it that you're doing? Or maybe you're here this morning and you're wanting to ask the question, what am I needing to build? I haven't started it yet, but I know there's something I need to build. And maybe even God has shown you what that is, but you haven't started yet. And so asking yourself, where am I at in that process? What needs to be built? What have I not started? What do I not even know that I need to build that I haven't started? What are you celebrating? What are the things in your life right now that you find, man, this is awesome. God is so incredible. I'm celebrating what God is doing. I am excited. I've been sharing with others what God is doing. And you're just in that moment. Or maybe the question is, what are you lamenting? What right now in your life are you looking at situations, things that are happening, and you're just going, I don't even see joy. I don't even know what joy looks like right now. I don't even see the end of the tunnel. And you're lamenting these moments. And another question, what are you needing to change? What are the things in your life right now that you're seeing, I need to change this? Because of the story, because of where I'm going to get from here to there, what changes do I need to make? Because the truth of the matter is, God makes promises, but then it's a cooperative process. There are sometimes things that we have to do, sometimes things that we have to change in order to get there. So begin framing these questions in your minds. Begin thinking through these as we talk through this. So like I said, I went through this journey, Daniel to Malachi, really, and just started looking at this big picture. And there's no way for me to really tell you everything this morning, but I hope to be able to kind of paint you a picture of what's going on here in the Old Testament in the context of Nehemiah. And so I got stuck in Zechariah. And it's kind of right there in the middle of Daniel to Nehemiah. And I just got stuck in Zechariah and reading his prophecies. Because here's the context, the background of Zechariah. Zechariah is writing a prophecy and telling a prophecy to Zerubbabel and the nation of Israel, saying, okay, you guys were in exile. You had been taken away. And now you're back. And you're looking at a temple that is no longer there. It's in ruins. The city that you're looking at around you is in ruins. There's nothing. And you've come back to this, and right now you're in sorrow, you're in lamenting, and you're going, what do we do with all of this? And then they even come to a place where they start rebuilding. They get the foundation for the new temple built. Opposition comes in and they have to stop. And that's exactly where we are in Zechariah. The opposition happened. They're going, well, we need to rebuild the temple. It was prophesied at one point that we would rebuild the temple. Now we're trying. It's not seeming to work. This is hopeless. And so they're stuck there in this moment. And Zechariah comes forth. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, this is how it reads. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in his way. It will become a level plain before him. And when he sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin and to see the plumb line in his hand. And so you're in a moment. Foundation is there. They feel hopeless. And the Lord comes forth and he says, you're going to finish this thing. But he says, you're not going to finish it just because you're going to finish it. You're going to finish it because I'm going to provide the power. It's not by your might. It's not by your strength. It's by my might, by my power, by my strength, by the Holy Spirit empowering you to finish this. You're going to finish it. I'm making you that promise. He says, I'm going to take away your obstacles. I'm going to remove the things that are standing in the way from you completing the tasks. I know you see a temple foundation with nothing on it. But I'm going to remove the obstacles so that this thing can be finished because I've already told you, I made you a promise. And he's giving them another promise in this very moment saying, look, I know it seems hopeless, but we're going to make this thing happen. And then he goes on to say to them, hey, I know right now you're looking at this whole situation. You're seeing kind of something insignificant. You're seeing an unfinished foundation. Before that, there was kind of a sort of rebuilt temple made out of wood that they had tried to put together, and it just was kind of not that grand. And so they're looking and going, we remember the splendor of the temple. We remember how amazing and how awesome. This looks puny. Like this is lame compared to that. And God's saying, don't despise this. This moment, this may look very small to you, but don't despise this moment because I'm giving you a promise. And by my might, by my power, it will be finished. And so, amazing prophecy comes forward in Zechariah chapter 4. I want to jump over to Zechariah 8. So in Zechariah 8, and let me set you a little background because, man, Zechariah is just full of stuff. Zechariah 7 is a rebuke. And the rebuke that Zechariah gives in chapter 7 is, all right, guys, I know the temple's in ruins. And I know that your entire city is in ruins. And the nation of Israel had started a fast in commemoration of the destruction of their city, of their nation, and when they went into exile. So they had started this. It was not a biblically mandated fast. It wasn't a fast that God said, you now need to fast in remembrance of your exile. This was just something that they were in sorrow, and they said, hey, we should fast and be in sorrow for the oppression that we were put under. And so Zechariah comes in and goes, guys, stop. Why are you fasting in sorrow? Why are you still reliving the oppression and the exile that you went through? The fast needs to end, and you need to get to building the temple, basically is what he says. Guys, stop wallowing in your sorrow. Stop wallowing in this oppression of, oh, this is horrible. This is a hopeless situation. Stop it. We've got a temple to build, guys. We've got something to do. I'm going to restore what was taken from you. And so Zechariah 7 is basically him saying, guys, come on, let's stop it. And in Zechariah 8, this is what he writes in verse number 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem's streets with their canes and sit together in the city squares. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls at play. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. All of this may seem impossible to you now, a small remnant of God's people. But is it impossible for me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. He paints this picture. And it finally hit me first service. because I was all week struggling with what's a good picture that I can relate to you guys, the picture he's painting, and then it hit me, Verado. And so if you've ever been to Verado, I was driving through Verado a while back, and it felt like there was a cue button that they were hitting, because I'm driving through and we're taking our daughter to practice out there and drive down one street. Family comes out and sits down on the front porch sipping tea. We go down the next street. There's a little lemonade stand on the corner. Little kids are selling lemonade. Turn on the next street. There's a family riding their bicycles down the street, just enjoying a nice afternoon. We go down the next road. There's a little park, and there's families having picnics in the park. And it's just this, it just feels so warm and fuzzy, and feels like everything was planted. And so this is a picture that I'm seeing, you know, as I'm reading this, God's saying, right now you see ruins, you see sorrow, you see something that you need to lament and fast over because it's broken and it's hopeless. But one day, there's going to be people sitting together in the park. The kids are going to be playing, and it's going to be this awesome moment. And you can't see that now, but that's the promise I'm making you, that all will be restored. And you say it's impossible, but with me, nothing is impossible. With me, everything is possible. That is the promise I am making to you. And so there's a lot more in Zechariah, and the truth of the matter is, what I'm sharing with you today is kind of the warm, fuzzy stuff from Zechariah. And there's also a lot of not warm and fuzzy stuff in Zechariah. And some of the other prophets of guys, there are some things that you're doing that you should not be doing, and you need to change it now. Because as I begin to look at this picture that was being painted, God's making these promises. He's saying, this is where we're going. This is what is to come. Don't get caught up in the moment. But this is a cooperative process. You're not just going to wake up one morning and go, wow, look at what God did. It's by His might and by His power, but it's also us being responsive to that, making changes, doing things different, listening for His still small voice. What do I need to change? What do I need to do? How do I become a part of this process? And so, I told you I broke out a timeline. 520 BC, this is when Zechariah is doing this. He is speaking these words. He is speaking prophecy. Guys, stop the fasting, stop lamenting, stop being in sorrow. God is doing something new. He is restoring. 520 BC, in 516 BC, the temple is completed and they dedicate it 4 years later. Because apparently these people went, oh, all right, God wants to do something. We'll do it. And so 4 years later, the temple gets built and restored. Now we're in the book of Nehemiah right now. The rebuilding of the wall happens 76 years after the temple is finished. Nehemiah comes on the scene and goes, guys, there's no defense around this thing. It's a really cool temple, but look, we're kind of defenseless. I think we should build a wall. We should actually have our city back. But I think there's something very significant about that. Is that a lot of times I think we try to do the wall first, and the spiritual climate is still in ruins. And I think God was painting a picture here saying, let's get the spiritual climate back in place, and then this will come. This will come too, but let's start at the core. Let's start at the spiritual place of healing, of restoration. And let's build from there. Let's not build from here out, because in all reality, it doesn't make sense to build a new temple that doesn't have walls for defense. But God's not necessarily a God of our thinking. He's a God of His thinking. And so they start with the temple. They build that. For 76 years, it's sitting there defenseless. No wall around the city. And then Nehemiah comes on the scene. And in 444 BC, we pick up with Nehemiah in the building of the wall, where we are in this series. And so I look at this picture, and I see the way that God is weaving all of this and putting all of this together, and He's making promises all along the way, and He's restoring the faith of the people. He's restoring people. He's challenging. He's correcting. He's bringing about all of these things. And we get to Nehemiah, and He just continues to do it. But it's so easy to take any one of those moments and get stuck in it. It's so easy to take any one of those moments in our life and get stuck there, and not see the big picture that God is painting. Because I truly believe that Nehemiah's faith wasn't in a wall. It wasn't for Nehemiah just about building a wall. Nehemiah's faith was in the promise of God that all would be restored. And Nehemiah realized that in that moment he was fulfilling one part of God's plan. But there was so much more. And his faith was in God's promises and in his word. And those promises cause us to take action. They cause us to do things. They cause us to look beyond the moment and to step into what God has called us to do and realize that God's never finished. Even here in a few weeks when we talk about the wall being finished, God's not finished. God's not done. He's not like, good job, guys, you built the wall. Story's over. That there's still more to the story. He's still doing more. And so watching this play out in our past, our present, our future, where are we in this story? What's going on? Are we in a Zechariah moment? Are we in a Nehemiah moment? Or are we looking forward to the future? What's happening? And throughout our life, there will be those moments. Now, we've been through those moments before and we'll be through them again. But in the moments, we need to remember the promises that God has fulfilled. Because for all of us, God's making promises. For the people of Israel and Zechariah, he made a promise. I will restore the temple and I will restore the city. And I can just imagine in Nehemiah, last week we talked about all of the different people that were working together to build this wall. I can just imagine them sitting there and they're putting the plaster and putting a brick on the wall and turning and saying, you remember when Granddad told us that God said this was going to happen? Remember him telling us that story? And remember him talking about how they came back from exile and they came back and everything was just in ruins? And there wasn't even a temple. I mean, the temple, it's pretty amazing, but it wasn't even there. And now we're rebuilding this wall. Like, remember that story? Remember how God promised that? And I can just imagine them having that conversation, kind of celebrating, like, wow, look at what we're doing. We're getting to be a part of this. But they were remembering, God, this wasn't just one moment. This is a whole story of what God is doing. And so we celebrate those moments. We tell other people about those moments. We remember the promises that God has made and that God has fulfilled. And then we remember what has changed in our life. We remember the things that God has said, this needs to be changed. We remember the moments where Zechariah comes and goes, guys, you're fasting. Stop it. Stop lamenting. Stop wallowing in the sorrow. Make some changes. Let's build a temple. Let's get the spiritual climate back in place. And when we make these changes, we look at our life and we see the things that have changed. We see the things that God has challenged us on. And we see how we've moved and how we've responded to Him. And then we look at our current situation. We see the things that God is calling us to change. And we see what we need to do in those moments to keep going forward and not become stagnant and in our faith and in our walk. And then we also remember what God has still promised. Because in this moment of Nehemiah, God's not done. This isn't the end of the story. God is still making promises. Even going back to Zechariah and understanding that some of Zechariah's prophecies wasn't about Nehemiah. Zechariah prophesied all the way to the end of time, even past where we are currently as human beings in the timeline of God's timeline. Zechariah prophesied even beyond that. And so we look at this and we see that fulfillment of prophecies, we see the change that has happened, but then we see even beyond that, that we can't get stuck in any one of these moments. Because that's not the end. That's not all there is. And I think about my own life and looking at my own life and seeing the things that we've gone through as a family. And I think about 7.5 years ago, we were living in Louisiana. And I had a Zechariah moment. I had my Zechariah moment when I was asleep, because those are the only times I can have Zechariah moments. And it was a dream. And what you have to understand is 7.5 years ago, 24 was a big show. And Jack Bauer was saving the world from terrorists. And I was addicted to that show. And so every night I would have dreams that I was Jack Bauer saving the world from terrorists. But this one night I had a different dream, and so I knew that this dream must be important because I wasn't Jack Bauer in this dream, so it's got to be important. And I had this dream that there was this tornado came and it picked up our house, and we were in our house, took our house and kind of just started twisting it and turning it, and it was kind of a Wizard of Oz kind of moment, and everything's just turning and dark and gloomy, and then the tornado takes our house and sets it down on this hill. And there's a little stream running past this hill, and the tornado goes away, and the sun comes out, and it's bright and sunshiny and beautiful, and the birds are tweeting, and, you know, it's just this wonderful little moment. And I had this dream, and I wake up, and I go, I need to remember that. I think, God, quicken my spirit, you need to remember that. And, okay. About 3 months following that, there was a lot of flooding that happened in Louisiana, and the place where we were working got flooded. And because of issues with insurance and all of these things, they ended up having to lay people off in order to pay for the repairs and kind of come out of the catastrophe that happened. And we were one of those people that got laid off. And so we're sitting there, and we know our job's ending, and I'm going, this looks like an impossible situation. I didn't see this one coming. And I remember a couple days into it, God reminded me of the dream. And I remember sitting in that moment going, all right, God, I know you've got a plan. I just don't see it right now. God, I know you're planning to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls and set everything right, but I don't see that right now. But I know you made a promise. And so I remember sitting in that moment knowing that it was only by God's might and God's power. And about 30 days later, we pulled in a big yellow Penske truck to Goodyear, Arizona, to Streams Church. And the sun was out. Thankfully, it was Thanksgiving. It was a trick, I tell you. Because we thought, wow, this is such a nice place to live in. So breezy, it's nice and cool. Man, this weather, it's amazing. Yeah. We didn't visit in the summer before we moved here. But it was this moment that we felt safe, and then we started becoming a part of, you know, obviously Streams and the part of the family. And God began to do something. God began to change some things in our life. And for the first time in our life, we started learning what it was to no longer pretend like everything was okay, to be vulnerable, to share life with other people. To not just say, everything's okay, I don't need prayer. But to begin to walk the journey out. And God began to change things in our hearts and in our life. And we begin to become family with the people out west. And God began to do something and make changes. And I still remember that whole journey to this very day because it was a crazy wild ride getting here. But I go all the way back to that Zechariah moment where God gave me a promise. And then I go 7.5 years later, and I honestly believe that we're in a season of our life right now where I feel a little bit like Nehemiah. We're restoring some walls. We're putting some bricks in place. And just like last night, I was in my room kind of going over this message, and Lacey, our youngest, walks in, and she's got this little red notebook, and she's like, hey, Daddy, can you share what I wrote in this notebook tomorrow in your message? And she starts sharing with me and realized that it didn't exactly go with what I was speaking, but I figured I'd find a way to put it in anyway. And she had written this whole little thing about how God was really breaking her heart for the poor and how she was wanting to do something about that. And I just kind of in that moment went, man, I'm building a legacy with the next generation in my family, and we're building right now, and God is doing incredible things. But I think about the different seasons of my life and this story that God's been weaving, and there's been moments where I needed a Zechariah word. I needed God to remind me and give me a promise that it looks impossible, but with me all things are possible. I needed moments in my life where the temple got restored, and I needed the spiritual climate to get reset in my life. and I needed to make some changes. And then there's moments in my life where I go, man, God, you're so good. Look at what we're building. Look at what we're doing. I am excited. I'm celebrating. And it's very easy that when you're over here with Nehemiah and you're building the wall, to look at the people over there with Zechariah and become a little judgmental, to go, come on, get it together, bro. We're building a wall over here. But you realize we're all, this is a story. And there are moments that I've been there with Zechariah and I needed a word from God. And then I think sometimes we're over here with Zechariah and we're looking over here at Nehemiah and we're going, there's no way that's ever going to happen. And we give up. And we feel defeated. And we feel like, where are you, God? But this whole story that God put together in the Old Testament, I think is a picture that he constantly wants to remind us of. That because of Jesus Christ, we get to come together. Some of us in Zechariah and some of us in Nehemiah and some of us somewhere in between. And Jesus gets to bring us together. In the moment of our story of where we're at, he gets to do something incredible in our life. And he gets to speak something. He gets to celebrate with us when we need to celebrate. He gets to speak life when we need life. He gets to reset the spiritual climate when it needs to be reset. So I ask you this morning, where are you at on that journey? Are you building something? Is there something you need to build that you haven't started yet? Are you celebrating? Are you lamenting? Is there something that needs to change? Is there something that just did change? Where are you at? God's there. God is with you. He's walking it. So as a worship team comes, this is a call I'm going to make. Here in a few moments, we're going to open up these altars. And there's prayer, if you're on the prayer team or if you're one of those people that prayed first service, I'm going to invite you back down just to kind of be up here in the front. Not in the sides, but in the front. And then I'm going to invite every person in this room to come forward for a time of worship. And maybe you can't stand or you're not comfortable with that. It's okay. But I'm going to invite everyone because here's how it goes. I can make a call and say, hey, if you need a Zechariah word, come on up. We want to pray with you this morning. There's going to be some people in the Nehemiah situation going, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder why they need a Zechariah word. Or I could say, hey, all the Nehemiah people, come on forward. We're going to celebrate together. And there's going to be some people needing a Zechariah word going, I can't go up there. I'm lamenting right now. I can't celebrate. But it's beautiful when Jesus Christ brings everyone, wherever they are in the journey of their life, together in worship. And he speaks Zechariah words to some. He celebrates like Nehemiah with others. And he helps reset the spiritual climate with others. And so we're going to make a call for every person in the room that can and wants to come and join us together up here for worship. And then if you say, you know what, I need prayer. I need a word. There's people up here that are going to pray with you. You say, I want to tell somebody what God is doing and I want them to celebrate with me. There's somebody here to celebrate with you. It doesn't matter what it is. We're going to do it. So why don't you stand with me and come forward and we're going to go into a time of worship.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.